Matthew.
I got it. Got it.
You got it.
I got to click open.
I'm gonna take the lead on this one. You ready? This isn't usually how we do it on There Will Be Books. I have a question for you. All right. I've been dabbling in the dark arts. I've been listening to the audiobooks. Okay.
Good.
For some reason, probably because the movie just came out, I've been listening to Andrew Roberts' biography of Napoleon.
Sweet. How's that going? Yeah.
It's going to take me like 5 months, 33 hours. The guy narrating it is kind of slow talker.
Okay.
That's not the question I have. I'm at the beginning here talking about Napoleon's education. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes in not great depth, but a good amount of depth into the classes and subjects that he takes and how he's studying for 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, on initial first glance, it seems that people back in the day, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 500 years, were much more learned or smarter, okay?
Sure.
But I wonder, is that true? Because I think it probably is. Or is it that we've advanced just general knowledge throughout the population that if we were to time travel 200 years into the past, that we would be like, oh, like a math genius or a sort of a very smart person back then would be like, oh, this is kind of easy. Because I had these thoughts while I was working in a warehouse, not utilizing my degree. And I thought, and I think my conclusion is that on an individual basis, we are much dumber than we were back then. There's less pride in sort of learning and studying throughout one's life, not just as a young person. What are your thoughts on this, man?
I suspect it's the former, not the latter. I think, school, big time universities and school was much harder back then. You couldn't just skate by at a state college with a C average, I may not have done.
Yeah.
I think actually progress, like as our society defines it, you know, everybody was a caveman and really dumb, and we've kind of progressed to where we are here, and it's just an ever-increasing arc. That is the myth, I think. I think we've had the same equipment. Like, we're the same species as the people back then, but no, we're not inherently smarter. I don't think we have too much more... all that much more knowledge. I kind of tripped myself up there because I was thinking like an engineer, or if we brought an actual iPad, it could work. It would, you know, it that's advanced technology. That's like smart.
But then I think, because one of the subjects that he was apparently not very good at, but still I think he would like...
Math, right?
Latin.
Oh.
I think he was good at math. It's tricky to listen to this and take in all of this. That's the one thing I'm having a little struggling with, is to retain everything. As
quick
far as
real quick,
yeah,
for audio, let it wash over you. Kind of get caught up,
okay,
in the story of it. And it actually doesn't matter
because I have these small panic attacks where I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that last 15 seconds. I was answering a question or I was talking to somebody. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh no,
let that go. Because there's not going to be, you're not going to have to write a paper on Napoleon.
Let it go.
So just let it go. And you'll get the gist of it. You listen the whole thing, you'll know a lot more about Napoleon and warfare and artillery and the French.
Maybe one or two, secondary, side question. Were schools better when they were much more strict? Where it was perceived as a very serious endeavor? And that there were consequences for just bad behavior, and you had to take your learnings. Or is it better that we've kind of, it's been more relaxed, and some people can take it seriously, some people just kind of like skate by? I don't know. I was just curious about your thoughts on the education of the world.
I think institutions of learning, schools and what have you, they kind of take on the responsibility, their responsibility is to teach or mold people or citizens to be what they're going to be most useful to society as a whole. Yeah. Better way to phrase that, right? They mold model citizens for their particular society.
Yeah.
Right? And this isn't my thing. This is kind of a critique of the educational system. So our educational system, we need kind of literate, but kind of like worker drones. And so that's why you get the kind of collegiate and the public school system leading up to most colleges today. You kind of get, it's not like you read Harvard back in the day. The entrance exam was taking a chapter of Homer and translating it from Greek to Latin, right? We don't do that, you know, but you don't necessarily want the rulers of society don't necessarily want a public capable of doing that, you know? So you get kind of a bare bones education that'll kind of mold you into being a cog in the machine. And we're kind of a machine-like society. And so that's kind of why you get the kind of education like we have today. It's like, it could be good if you kind of apply yourself, but for the most part, college is really expensive, borderline pyramid scheme. Right, but that mirrors our society. And so back then, you get the education your society gives you.
Okay. Final question.
Okay.
And this is more, I was just, this is where my brain goes when I'm working, listening to this book. Not so much the military greatness of Napoleon or his life. I'm just kind of random esoteric questions. There weren't that many distractions really back then, right? When you're like, school.
I'll go with it. Okay.
Because I definitely feel like there's been studies about like how screens and phones and iPods and TVs probably aren't good for your brain as far as like learning, retaining information.
Okay, I'm with you.
It just got me wondering, would it be noticeable how quickly people learn things back then? Once they applied themselves, because that's all they had, as like, oh, I guess I'm gonna learn German this month. Or is that, am I grossly exaggerating the ability without any distractions? Or is it
somewhere? I think there was always drink, and for like a boys' school, girls. I'm thinking actually what sprung to mind was we're reading A Question of Upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was less distractions. But there's still, you know, Stringham and Templar, his roommates are kind of, you know, I guess they do well enough. But they, you know, Templar chases girls, Stringham.
Yeah.
So there's always something. But I actually, in fairness to your point, I do think, yeah, we're probably way, way, way more distracted. Our attention span,
yeah.
Mine included, is just shot.
And it's not possible, but to like take a scan of the brain now, a normal brain, doesn't have to be great, mm-hmm. doesn't have to be bad, versus a person, you know, in 1812 or something, or
just a normal college student.
Someone who was like, I'm going to, yeah, some English university. And would you notice, could you detect in a brain scan anything different? This is not the most exciting start to an episode we ever have done, so maybe this is why I don't do intros, Matt, but
it raises some interesting questions. I think we're the same species. We have the same
capabilities. We are the same species, but there is
people's interests and abilities are
formed. There are changes that happen, right?
Over societal changes.
Not even societal, but almost on a, you know, like if we don't use a muscle or if we don't use some sort of part of our brain, it probably will go away after a while. Sort of.
Good atrophy.
Atrophy, yeah.
You know, I'm headed out into dangerous waters.
Okay.
I don't fully grasp the subject yet. But so my little audio side project, big book that I'm listening to that I haven't talked about here yet,
yeah.
is Oswald Spengler's Decline of the West.
Okay.
And his theory...
Can I just stop us and just be like, we are nerds. We're like...
Just... I mean, yeah, we have a book podcast. And we're, like, we're about to nominate books to read for the month. So there's no... We haven't been fooling people. You know what I mean? So anyway, but yeah. So I'm listening to The Decline of the West. And as far as I grasp it, there are people smarter than me who listen to the show who talk about Spengler, who, so don't yell at me. But so his theory is we tend to look at history as a progression. You know, there's the ancients, the medieval, and the modern, and it's like a ladder here. And Spengler's saying that's not accurate. That's not really useful if you want to understand actual history. And so his deal is each culture has its own, it's its own little contained circle, right? So it's not, the ancient culture had their own, he calls it Apollonian culture. Apollo, and that was its own contained thing, and they had a life cycle, like a beginning, middle, end. It calls it, like when you look at a caterpillar, you don't expect it to grow into like a 2 foot long.
Yeah.
Keep growing to a 2 foot long furry worm. It like, you know, goes into its little chrysalis cocoon, comes out as a butterfly, dies a butterfly. You know what I mean? It's got its own little cycle. So civilizations are the same. Medieval culture is its own thing. He says we live, and he's talking Europe, 1800s, 1900s, but like is a Faustian culture, which is really, I think, the key to a whole lot. But you know the story of Faustus, who kind of sold his soul to the devil for like powers. And so we tapped into, we know a lot of Faustian culture, knows a lot of science, but in order to obtain that and to have all the shiny things and the planes and the iPads, you have to tap into the earth. Well, it has a price that we're paying. We're starting to see being paid, right? So anyway, but that's the thing. Every culture is their own contained little circle. And so when you start looking at it that way, things make a whole lot more sense. So looking back and saying, oh, you know, we're so much smarter and advanced now because we have these shiny toys and tech, isn't quite, that's kind of the end result of our Faustian culture, but we're the same species. And so we look at it as our little culture is going through its own thing, right? But it's not like a straight line from Greece, Rome, medieval Europe, America. So that's kind of what I'll have more on Decline of the West as I finish, but that's kind of the gist of it. And that's really a useful filter to look at history. It's kind of fascinating.
I came up with a morbid analogy while you were talking.
Let's hear it.
All right. I think you might like it. I'm going to do a bad job of explaining my own analogy.
Let's find out. I'm going to be brutally honest. I won't spare your feelings. Ask.
Planes these days can almost fly themselves, right? They have computers on them. They do all this stuff.
Sure.
There's been, in the last couple of decades, I know of one definite plane crash where this happened. What essentially happens is the pilots trust the instruments to a point where they think, let's say, they're going up, they're gaining altitude, when in reality they're actually going down in altitude. There's some malfunction with the plane, there's something frozen, there's some gauge that's off, but they trust the sort of the computer stuff and not really like their instincts, so to speak. I think there's one in the Atlantic Ocean. I could be wrong about this. But maybe that's sort of, we feel like we're gaining altitude.
Yes.
When in reality, we're trusting these faulty instruments, and we're actually heading towards the sea. It's very depressing. It's very morbid. I don't know. I just came up with it on the spot.
Not too morbid. No, I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
This reminds me of, if you ever read Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. He talks about how our culture, we think we're flying, we're doing all this cool stuff, but really, we're in the middle of jumping off a cliff, so it feels like flying, but we're in for a rough landing. That's a good.
Us know.
Yeah.
You know, if the philosophical intro is better than, you know, our usual good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, I'll see your morbid thing and raise you a morbid anecdote that I heard.
Okay.
What you're talking about, plane getting confused. I heard that's actually what happened with the Kobe Bryant helicopter.
Oh.
They got caught up in fog, and then the pilot like yanked on the lever, thinking he was going up to get him out of it. But he was so turned around, they just down, like straight down.
That's gotta be terrifying.
That would be so scary. Those final moments of those people.
Oh. Yeah, this is getting morbid.
Good intro.
And on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and philosophical discussions. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. That's good, Matt. We're kind of stretching out the old brains here. You're drinking a, it looks like a teal drink of some sort. I don't know if that's
Blue.
light. It looks blue. It looks a little bit like either Gatorade or dishwasher soap. I'm not
Wrong
exactly
on both counts. Hey, so anyway, I got, you know how I like to get weird. There's a place I go to with like everything's on sale.
Yeah.
And I found zero sugar Fanta, like blue
Oh.
raspberry Fanta. I picked it up and then I was pouring it into this glass tonight. So I put ice in it and stuff. Then it said no caffeine. I was like, well, I'm going to need some caffeine. So I have my blue Fanta, but I also have tea.
Okay.
You see this mug? I made this mug.
You did. He,
Yeah.
the
Or I
listener is.
painted it. I'll post a picture of it online.
You
It's
didn't. You oh. You have a pottery class
no, it's
locally?
one. Okay, so it's one of those places everything's pre-made, but it's white ceramic, and I painted it.
Okay. It's a pretty good painting. You're pretty good with the colors there.
I'm artistic.
It's green with a what was looks like almost like a gremlin of
It's an
sorts.
elf with a Santa hat. You can't see here, but his eyes are bloodshot. I added that because he's tired.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah.
Artistic.
I'll post a picture on
Artistic.
Instagram and Twitter. Which reminds me, I was going to talk about it last time, but I don't really have any like extra material on it.
Yeah.
Jokes or what have you. I Googled Meow Wolf.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. I think the kids would enjoy it and it looks fun. So I don't really have any
A good way to get a headache. It's a good way to
crowded.
lose your kids because there's about 15,000 people
I say,
in
I don't know that it would be something like if I were single or still just my wife and I, no kids. She's like, do you want to do that? You want to go to Meow Wolf? I'd Google it and I'd be like, I want to go see a movie or something. But now I could see like, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Keith, our patron, and he's in our fantasy football league. He responded. He's like, I hadn't heard of it, but we went and my kid, who's the artistic kid of mine, really liked it. I was like,
Okay.
oh, cool.
There you
Good.
go.
So
Kids seem to have a blast. I could see not
see, I think
all
you do.
kids loving it because I could see myself as a young lad being overwhelmed by it all. Yeah, it's a lot. It's artsy.
I could see my 3-year-old loving it, and I could see him running off and getting lost there too. So.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous. I'm sure they have, well, they obviously have the ability just to turn on the lights. I often wonder too. I heard this from my friend who lives down there that the staff there is trained in identifying people who are having okay, what's the right phrase? Basically a quote unquote bad trip.
Oh, it's like they go there because it's so
Yeah,
yeah.
because it's like neon colors and weird
Little
sights and
mushrooms.
sounds, and
Yeah.
it's they're aware of some of the people that go there.
Oh,
So
yeah. I imagine there's a contingent of like family people with
It's
kids.
weird because there's families and then there's
And
like,
like your skeevy stoner types with dilated pupils.
really, I'm really selling this place. So
Eh, no, it seems fun. It seems fun. It seems
there you
fun.
go. There you go.
Just tie up that loose end. I said I'd bring it. I'd Google it. And so.
You Googled Meow Wolf. I was surprised that not a lot of people had heard of it.
You know, it dawned on me I had seen bumper stickers of Meow Wolf. I saw a few after I Googled it, and I was like, I've seen those before. I thought it was like some Doctor Who or Breaking Bad inside joke.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was like, oh, is that from Breaking Bad? Is that
Can I
some?
ask you a question? Is it illegal to put bumper stickers on other people's cars?
You would think so.
Okay.
At least, probably, that's a good question.
I
I
always think about it when I see someone with a lot of like bumper stickers. I was like, wouldn't it be funny if you just put like the opposite message bumper sticker and how furious they would get?
put the other political whatever
I know
candidate.
it's not very funny. It's very amateur, but it's just like, what if you just
I bet it's at least a misdemeanor property damage because it tops
think?
it off. But if a buddy of yours, I could see that be a funny joke if like a buddy of yours.
Some people daydream about very exciting things. I'm like, I daydream about I do it at night. I probably, try to, the elaborate lengths that my brain goes to set in motion this very benign prank. It's quite
I
elaborate.
snuck a bumper stick. What if I did that to your car?
Be pretty bomb. I mean, you said it out loud, so I'd probably call you first. But I would probably say, you know what? I got. There you go. But I
Well,
think it matters if I don't have any bumper stickers, so Yeah.
If you see, put I could
two
see.
bumper stickers that were opposite, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to you because it wouldn't be. It'd be like, eh, whatever. But like somebody, if you knew somebody who had a ton, and you maybe slip one on there and see how long it takes them to notice. You know, like put an old. If you can go to a pawn shop or an antique store and find like a Bush Quail or a Clinton Gore 92 sticker and just put it on there, all their other stuff. And just
what if we made a business where we printed and made vintage bumper stickers? Burr Hamilton. Burr's
bumper sticker. Burr did. Aaron Burr did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm sure there are people who do that, but could we get it? Could we do
it? Could book? We start like.
Could we do a book? Else book? Oh, we could probably find some stuff in Dune that people might like.
The old man.
I am the Muad'Dib.
Yeah.
You don't like it, but we're doing it for the people.
I
like Aaron Burr did nothing wrong. I like that. It's a little.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Hamilton had is that encouraging murder?
That's what I'm worried about. That's what I'm worried about.
Burr Jefferson.
Very aggressively for like murder.
Burr Jefferson, 1800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just I don't have any good brainstorm. Examples, but just
I live my life like Scott Horvath.
Just say like Rough Riders and have a picture of Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to have like a slick slane. Just be like, look at this guy.
Vintage.
Just okay. Beethoven. Picture of Beethoven on the back of your
car.
We
could do bumper stickers. We could have our little podcast logo.
I think people are tired of the political bumper sticker and the sort of like the cause bumper sticker. What if it's just like, this is my favorite book. Bumper sticker.
Yeah.
I think it's not bad. There's definitely worse ideas out there.
What about a bumper sticker that says, I haven't read Infinite Jest?
I kind of like that.
I haven't. Just, all right. Yeah, kind of got me hooked. And of course, we'll have time to brainstorm some.
Harry who? Potter? No.
Harry Potter? Harry Potter is witchcraft. Kind of new to me. Like, does he like it?
Does he like it?
He likes it? Or
I don't know.
Is he okay with witchcraft? But,
Harry Potter.
No.
Anyway, I like
that. Okay.
If you have any good bumper sticker suggestions that are old-timey vintage, maybe would book you, related or not book related.
Would you buy a bumper sticker?
Would like you?
We've been discussing.
Wanted to start a business with us.
Yeah.
All right, Matt.
Let's know.
It's December. You know what time? I don't know what my.
You want to do some?
What time month? That means we're going to nominate some books, Matt.
It's December.
And add to our very lengthy TBR. That I'll be honest, it's kind of stressed me out the last couple of days.
Yeah, stop thinking about it.
Paralysis by analysis. Oh.
You want to give some backstory? So, did you stick with the theme? I was proud of our theme.
Stick with the theme?
The fun, the Christmas truce. We're going to do fun stuff.
So, yeah, a couple months ago, I threatened Matt with a bunch of serious literature picks coming up for the next couple months. He has, over the last couple months, somehow deflected those nominations and pushing them off. To a later date. He said he wants to have a truce. It's time of being around family, giving gifts, and I have agreed to that. So no, although I did think, maybe what if I just back out of this truce and just hit him with the old
you one, could, two, you three. Could have.
The old halfway, one, two, three, you know, give
I'm some, halfway ready.
Seriously. Can I ask a question? Why are you wearing a Broncos hat?
Oh, it's just thematically, because you got upset. Mm. Whole trigger for this thing was you got upset because I said the Broncos were cursed.
Yeah.
My whole backup, we won't get into it now, I guess, but my whole backup intro was get into sports and the controversial calls that have been going
on. We haven't texted in about a week. I was going to text you. I was like, what's wrong with your team? What's wrong with your star quarterback? They're kind of losing their grip.
Yeah, he was right to be angry.
No.
That was his. Have you... You know about George Brett Pine Tar game?
When you're on top of the mountain,
you let
the bad calls slide off your shoulder and fall into the sea.
No.
Aristotle.
No, they don't. I'm fine with him getting upset. It shows he's fiery. I thought we'd go about 12-5 and make the playoffs, and it's just whether we can get past Baltimore.
Can you guys lose? Can you guys lose your playoff spot? It's possible.
If we lost the rest of our games.
Possible.
Anyway, no. Have you know the George Brett Pine Tar incident?
Yeah, I gotcha.
That was Mahomes' Pine Tar game. He's like, "Are you kidding me?" And he got.
I'll be honest, I didn't watch the game. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was cutting down Christmas tree.
It's fun. I'm not gonna complain about it. It was my backup. Anyway, but your team's doing well. They're no longer cursed. You guys could make the playoffs. Are you doing? You feeling all
right? I don't like the way you're talking right now. I feel like you're doing a reverse jinx.
Okay, I'll take.
I might just change my entire.
Hold on. I'm taking the hat off.
You better tread carefully here, Matthew.
I apologize.
All the fun books I have to nominate this month might just get thrown out the window and go into the snow.
I'm taking the hat off.
Take the hat off right
now. And it's off. Okay. It's off. Take the hat off. I just want to give the listener a sense of kind of like the
how serious I get.
Kind of cut through.
Yeah.
If you ever watch a football game with him, he gets like being Peter. I'm talking the audience now. He gets into it.
Yeah, I'm passionate.
It's fun watching Notre Dame games with it because I have nothing against him.
It's so
it rubs off. I start going for Notre Dame too.
So depressing. I don't know why. Yeah. Bummer.
Anyway,
the listener,
a sense of the tension we're cutting through. It has to
do. I have some great nominations this month.
I think I do too. Let's see where
The fact you're drinking this teal tea,
the caffeine's starting to kick in. So
hopefully, all right, I like it.
Hopefully, I'll start. It'll be even better. The second half of the podcast is going to be even better.
I'm going to say right now, all my nominations are going to blow your nominations out of the water.
I got at least one. Okay. Well, let's go through it anyway. How many you got?
I don't know. I just have an author.
Can we pick one?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Are you
scared? I wonder if we have some overlap.
Shaking in your boots? Because you posted on Instagram. I was like, okay.
Hey,
enough's enough.
Well, okay. That might have been a feint. A little ruse.
Okay. I have 5 books plus actual 6 books plus an author that I'm like, they have many. You'll kind of see my theme, I guess, for this month.
Cool.
All fun books.
Cool.
I think a good engagement with all these books would be sort of widely held. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first, Matthew?
You go first because I have 5, and then I have a little extra credit option, like a 6-page short story. We'll talk about it at the end. It's not part of the thing.
All right, let me start off here. This one will be fresh in our minds, and I thought it would be kind of fun to do a little quick reread. First book up is Burr by Gore Vidal. I'm just kidding. I was joking. That was a unplanned joke. That's not. See, I got you off your game. Now you're flustered. I'm going to do 2 here.
Okay.
This book I've been meaning to read for a very long time. It's a very beloved book. I think I've read maybe the first paragraph or page, maybe 5 or 6 times, and that would be Watership Down by Richard Adams.
Oh.
Famous sort of story involving rabbits.
That's a story
that's been around for a very long time. I don't really have much else to say other than it's kind of a gap in my reading. And I'm kind of curious to see kind of what if the book matches the reputation as a beloved book of many. Next one is kind of a very different book, but it's also filling a gap in my reading kind of landscape, and that would be The Gunslinger by Stephen King.
Hey.
Wildly different books.
Yeah.
But I think, you know,
yeah.
Could be some fun discussion. And possibly, maybe every December we read the next book if we pick The Gunslinger, the next book in the series.
If we like it.
Sort of my theme was possible series to continue every December because I feel like fantasy, sci-fi, or just general sort of adventure stories are always enjoyable over the holiday season.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings comes to mind. So that's sort of based on what my theme of this
book. I like that, Peter.
So
let me a commentary on both those books.
Go ahead.
Good nominations. I have a copy of Watership Down. It's been laying around. And on it, I swear, back before we got just bogged down in the mud, when I thought we'd have a seasonal nomination process halfway soon, Watership Down was going to be in my...
Oh,
I was going to nominate for seasonal.
But it's... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've been meaning to read that for a long... That's a really good nomination.
Thank you.
What about and the Gunslinger... We've had two separate authors say that was like their formative book from when they were kids. It was the first adult book they remember reading. Brad Kelly and R.J. Jacobs, both. Yeah.
Pretty strong right.
Starting off strong up the gate. All right.
Come on. Bring your A game.
This is the only that Instagram post was a feint.
I know.
I was tricking you. But this is the one from the picture that I'm going to just throw out there.
Lord of the Rings.
No, that wasn't in the picture. Okay, so...
That was? No, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. We freaked out Karen and Robin. They're like, are you really gonna... No, don't worry. So anyway, I apologize. I was throwing Peter off. No, I've read like half of it. I tried to read it when I was a kid, and the old-timey language kind of like I couldn't get past that when I was 10.
Yeah.
But I've seen there's a bunch of different movie versions of it. I've seen quite a bit. I know the storyline, but I've never finished it.
Okay.
It's kind of a gap for me. Treasure Island.
Oh. That's funny. I had an issue with the old timey language as well.
Yeah. But I think we're old enough now.
We did
Dale Romance. We could maybe.
Because I think I tried to read it when I was like maybe 18 or 19. Somewhere around then.
It's
a little I thought it was like sort of dry, I want to say, or just the language was a little difficult for me to fully engage with at the time, and I think I stopped midway through. That's a great nomination though, because I would love to revisit it.
Yeah, I think we could handle it, and it's a fun little adventure story.
What if we read it and we're like, oh man, nothing.
We still can't get past page 5. Yeah. That'd be embarrassing. But no, we did Blithedale, we did Edith Wharton. We can
can't be worse than that.
We can handle. Hopefully.
All right. Okay. Right? All my nominations don't blow it out of the water. Oh. Treasure Island. I like that. Do you want to do another one?
Well, let me just P.G. Woodhouse.
Okay. Code of the Woosters.
Fun, delightful. We haven't done you haven't read a Jeeves and Wooster story. We did the Emsworth. So this is the Jeeves and Wooster. It's a good place to start.
I might actually have that Code of the Woosters.
Yeah.
I kind of been picking up some P.G. Woodhouse when I occasionally see it, which is actually surprisingly not as often as I would hope. It's almost like people hang on to their P.G.
People want to hang on to them, yep.
Do you ever wonder, like, when you see a bunch of a book, be like, is that actually a good book? Because there's a lot of copies in here in this. Mm-hmm. In this
sometimes, book. Yeah. Or yeah.
It's a little bit of an alarm where you're like, why are there 10 copies of this book?
You can tell a high school or college just got done.
That's also something you have to take into account. That's true. Okay. I like that. Let me go. Do you want one or two nominations, Matt?
I almost just closed
down the Zoom. That would have been back-to-back weeks of technical difficulties.
Let's do one and one the rest of the way.
What's that?
Let's do one and one back the rest
okay. of the way. This is a new-ish fantasy series. To me, the cover doesn't look very fantasy-like. But apparently it is. It's going to be the second book's coming out later in 2024. My friend John, who I like to talk books with, gave it 5 stars on Goodreads. I don't know if when I say the title, you're going to know exactly, but I think the cover is very kind of striking. The book is called The House of the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune. Have you heard of this book, man?
No.
Let me pull this up here. Hold on a second. Actually, when I was reading about this, it was I just sort of thought it was literary fiction in a way. But it's
the cover that came up for me makes it kind of look like a kid's book.
It does sort of look like a kid's book. It's a house kind of on the edge of an elaborate cliff almost.
So
it
makes me want to read it, but
I think it has some young adult maybe aspects of it, but also fantasy. It's an enchanting story. I don't want to really read. It's sort of, there is a orphanage with six dangerous children who all have a various like sort of identities and I guess skills, I assume. And there's sort of this overseer, and this person is summoned there. And I think the story goes from there. And there's another book coming out. So this is The House in the Cerulean Sea. The second book is coming out, I want to say in, I think I want to say August. That could be wrong. And it's called Somewhere Beyond the Sea. But I thought this would be a fun fantasy magical tale. Been very popular since it's come out. Came out in 2020. So we're kind of at the tail end maybe, but right before maybe this, the second book, we can get on the hype of the book. Curious if our listeners have read this book, because it was popular. So that's my third nomination.
Cool.
A little current fantasy fiction there.
Cover looks cool.
Cover does look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Matt, next nomination.
Hey, I don't know if you've heard of this guy. He's kind of like, I guess I'm curious if you have.
Okay.
I'm going to read the description to you. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
The year is 1597. For nearly a decade, the island of Britain has been under the rule of King Philip in the name of Spain. The citizenry have lived under an enforced curfew and in fear of the Inquisition's agents who put heretics to the torch in public displays.
Okay.
And with Queen Elizabeth imprisoned in the Tower of London, the British have no one to unite them against the enemy who occupies the land. William Shakespeare has no interest in politics. His passion is the theater. His words bring laughter and tears to a populace afraid to speak out against the tyranny of the Spanish crown. But now Shakespeare is given an opportunity to pen his greatest work, a drama that will incite the people of Britain to rise against their persecutors and change the course of history.
Interesting.
Alternate
history. Big fans of that in this podcast.
It's called Rule Britannia. Have you heard of this guy? Harry Turtledove?
I have heard of Harry Turtledove.
You heard of him? He's like the big modern alternate history guy. Like all his books are.
What's his most famous? He have one.
Guns of the South. It's actually I have a ton of his strips, we call them in the lingo. Yeah. One I've read is Guns of the South, and that is actually pretty good. A bunch of South Africans from apartheid era have a time machine, and they somehow bring machine guns back to the Confederacy.
Okay.
So to try to make this Confederacy wins the Civil War.
Interesting nomination.
Yeah. I thought you might. Are you kind of interested in the alternate history you mentioned it? So.
He's written a ton of books.
Yeah.
Not even on the first page. Okay. Yep. Interesting. I like that. All right. My next nomination, Matt, is just a general. I've heard this name before. There are many different kind of almost trilogies within a larger world. And that would be the author's Robin Hobb. The book I'm kind of is the big kind of a, I would like to sort of start at the beginning, and that would be The Assassin's Apprentice.
Yeah. Huh.
Any thoughts on Robin Hobb?
I have Assassin's Apprentice, and I seriously thought about throwing it in my pile.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I've never read Robin Hobb, but I have Assassin's Apprentice.
Yeah. I saw something on YouTube where a person talked about like their love of Robin Hobb. These very entertaining books. There's I don't know a ton about all the world building, because it sort of seems like when I was looking at all the which book to nominate, there's like the assassin books are the first three, and there's something about ships, and there's something about, I don't know. Seems like, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Get lost in, so to speak. But Robin Hobb.
Oh, that's good.
There we go. Assassins.
I like that. Interesting. I'll pull it out here. Yeah.
I think I maybe knew that you had Robin Hobb. Maybe not. I don't know. Subliminal. How's my brain work?
We have similar taste.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Give me another one, man.
Okay. I know for a fact you've heard of this guy now. Let's see. Description again. When the Great War engulfed Europe in 1914, the United States and the Confederate States of America, bitter enemies for five decades, entered the fray on opposite sides. The United States allied with the newly strong Germany, while the Confederacy joined forces with their longtime allies, Britain and France.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. What's going on? It is called The Great War, American Front, by Harry Turtledove.
Harry Turtledove coming out with some strong opinions there.
I couldn't. This, and it's interesting. So the president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, president of the Confederacy, Peter, any guesses?
Confederacy.
During World War One.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who. This might get me. This is kind of a loaded question. I don't know. I don't think that person would be old enough. I don't know.
Woodrow Wilson.
Oh.
So if a World War One had happened in a world.
I was going to say Henry Ford.
I actually don't know the age, but that's.
Henry Ford had some. No.
Yeah, some interesting.
Yeah, he had some.
But this is World War One, so pre-Nazi. But anyway, it's just had the Confederacy won, and World War One breaks out. It's an interesting. I couldn't decide which. I knew I wanted to do a Harry Turtledove.
I think I like the Rule of Britannia more. Sounds more appealing because I don't know really where Harry Turtledove falls. Like, why is this? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it's just an interesting. It's not politically loaded. Just it's an interesting. He's got a whole series of the World War One books, but honestly. So the reason I wanted to do, I wound up doing the two Harry Turtledove books, because this is the month of Christmas and our truth, and I wanted there to be two Turtledoves.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like the song? Yeah.
That is, wow.
I've been sitting on that joke all week. I thought of it. I was like, I'm going to do that. It's going to be a funny joke.
That's a, yes.
Two Turtledoves.
Very Home Alone 2 of you.
Just watched that last night. So I
It's my favorite one.
Two Turtledoves. Anyway.
Maybe I should get you two Turtledoves.
Can you title this episode Two Turtledoves? Make a note.
Two Turtledoves. And then I'm going to write December nominations because.
You're going to say December nominations and. Reveling in an old rivalry or something.
How about we've been doing this long enough and you're kind of mocking me. I'll title of the episode Two Turtledoves.
Two Turtledoves.
No one's gonna know, like, I've never heard of that book before. Like, I used to name the episodes very like funny, tried to make, you know, humorous jokes at the title. Then I was like, I'm just too much brain power is going into these titles. So I just started doing very basic type.
But very literal.
This week's episode is called Two Turtledoves. Okay. Anyway. All right. Where are we? Harry Turtledove. Okay. Next nomination for me. So this author, I don't think I was like... The genre that I'm nominating, I'm not super familiar with sort of the big names, the big books, fantasy, all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. I kind of know some authors, and then other authors who I've never heard of are just sort of like equally important than, say, the authors that I know. It's a terrible explanation. I was recently at our one of our used bookstores, and I saw this. There's this new sort of volume one and volume two of this author collecting sort of their, I don't know, novella length works and short stories. And I said, that looks like a very like handsome looking book. Right. I was like, I don't know anything about it, but that seems sort of important. Anyway, needless to say, I'm going to nominate sort of their most famous work. I think a work that a lot of people know. The author is Peter Beagle. And the book I'm nominating is The Last Unicorn.
Hey.
Which, like I said, I'm not very familiar sort of with the sort of how important Peter Bruegel is. And this is important. I think Patrick Rothfuss said this is his favorite book. And sort of, I guess the title sort of explains what the book is about. I think there was a 40th anniversary edition not too long ago. I don't know. I thought it's a pretty big gap in my fantasy reading. I can't really say that because I just haven't read as much fantasy as I should have. So
it's a gap in mine too.
Okay.
I kind of wanted to read it, but yeah.
So you're familiar with
Neil Gaiman? A lot of people. I know Rothfuss, a lot of people love it. I think Neil Gaiman's written about it. Yeah.
Okay. Look,
solid nominations, Peter.
Thank you. I was proud when I was kind of getting my list compiled. So yeah, there's two really, I think I looked them up. They came out in August. And if you're a fan of Peter Bruegel, you probably already know about these, but they're like very attractive, well-made.
Really? So he's got a lot of, I would only know to name The Last Unicorn if you asked me about his work.
Yeah. It's kind of, perusing the bookstore a couple weeks ago and I saw this. I was like, I don't know this. I should probably know this author's name.
Nice. Did you get me anything?
I didn't get you anything. All right, Matt. Are we on to your, what do we have here? You might have two more nominations.
No, this is my last one.
Last one. Okay.
This one, you brought some heat. I'm happy with some of the other nominations, but I don't know. This one, it struck me that I could nominate it a couple days ago because I've been putting it off. It's like, no, we got to finish Once and Future King first. We got to finish The Russians first.
Yeah.
It's seasonal. Like, you know what? Nothing's stopping you. Just bring it up right now.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Peter Bruegel wrote the foreword to it. You haven't read it. I know you've seen the movies. We've read the prelude to these books. But I'm just going to throw it out. I'm going to nominate The Fellowship of the Ring. See. I mean, I think it's the movies are almost technically Christmas movies. It's a very cozy, pleasant read.
Fellowship of the Ring.
I think it might be. I'd love to get your perspective. As somebody who grew up reading them, that's kind of immersed in the lore, I'd be curious as your first impression actually reading them.
Yeah. It's a big book to nominate. That's a big book to nominate.
It is kind of big. I figure we do two part because there's six little books. There's part one and that's the opening. Bilbo's party to Rivendell.
I gotta find my copy somewhere. I think the first book would have come out. I asked for Christmas for the complete like big, and it had like a movie edition cover, which is fine or whatever. I started, they're having that big party.
Yeah,
I just never. I've been itching. I don't know why I've never read it.
No, it's. I think it lines up perfectly to get your impressions on the...
Well, let me just say my last nomination. It's a book that we have history with. It's a book we have a funny story about. It's a book I'm hoping the trilogy will be completed. It's a very long book.
Name of the Wind?
Name of the Wind. It's my last nomination.
I really like that book, too.
Yeah. I stopped in the middle of the second book, and I don't know why. I think there was a section that was very long and I just kind of got disinterested, but I love The Name of the Wind and I would love to return to it.
So good.
Yeah. And I remember being like wildly impressed by the story, the writing, everything about it.
It's really good.
I know it's long. I know we have a dozen books in our TBR. We're trying to clean it up, so to speak, and try to go through some of the old books that have been on there for like maybe 2 years, so to speak. It's our podcast. We can have fun. We want to put on books that we want to read. So that was my last one, The Name of the Wind. I don't know where we go from here, Matt.
That's some good nominations.
We could probably add six books to our TBRs from the list we have here.
Yeah, if we did everything we wanted. Yeah, I think
I want to do Treasure Island. I want to do The Code of Woosters. Fellowship.
I like Watership Down a lot.
Watership Down, I want to read.
I like Name of the Wind. What was the other one? Either? The fantasy one seems interesting.
The House of the Cerulean Sea.
What else did you do?
Kind of doesn't So the Gunslinger.
Gunslinger, yeah.
Assassin's Apprentice.
Assassin's Apprentice.
Unicorn, Name of the Wind, Watership Down.
Oh, the Last Unicorn, too. Yeah. I get, man, of yours, Last Unicorn, Watership Down.
What has been on your list the longest out of the ones? Because mine's probably the Fellowship.
I think we could get a lot, wring a lot out of the Fellowship.
I don't even, we don't have to extend it because, you know, we have a lot of books to get to, but I just.
We could get going. And then,
how upset would people be, though? We nominate this book. Everyone's pumped.
Mm-hmm.
We're on, you know, we're on newspapers. Like, oh, man, there will be books finally picked.
Fellowship of Rings, yeah.
And we don't get to it until like September of next year.
I think we can make a point to, I don't know.
And I don't know if I could do that to your brother.
Yeah, well,
he's already mad.
He's going to have some thoughts.
He will be so mad. He might ask that you not talk to me if I get distracted by my 1,000 library books and my, I can't control myself with my TBR. It just goes out of control. Yeah. You don't get one life, man. You just got to read all the books that you just on the way. I don't know.
Buy them, let them pile up.
Sound like a hippie right now. I'm just sleep deprived and it's nighttime.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, Matt? I don't, this might be the toughest choice.
I don't want to do Fellowship. God. We can't add two, right?
Let me look at the list. Hold on.
We'll have to have Watership circle around as like a seasonal. But the ones I want to show up, I want to have Watership Down and Last Unicorn kind of show.
I say, yeah, let's do the Fellowship of the Ring. Let's end 2023.
Into 2024.
Just on a blockbuster nomination.
Okay. And I think we could do.
Can I also say, we've named a lot of good books, and this was my best. I feel like this is one of my stronger months for nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can I reserve the right to bring up some of these titles at a future, like, reasonable couple months? Be like, hey, Matt, you remember when we were talking, you know, we were reading some stuff maybe next summer? Be like, hey, do you want to pick up? The Last Unicorn, or even be like, hey, let's get Treasure Island out of the, you know, let's go back and revisit.
Honestly, I'm with you there. I honestly think we'll do Code of the Wooster. We like have to.
As an unofficial secondary PG Woodhouse, fan club podcast. I want to do that. All right, so is our official nomination will be the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah,
which obviously leads into we will have to at some point read Two Towers and Return of the King.
I think we could do a lot of good stuff with Fellowship, though.
I think we could have fun. We'll do our own spin and take on it, maybe.
Who do you think? We can't do prop bets. I guess we do prop bets.
Yeah, we can't do prop bets.
I don't know. Everybody knows the story. Who is the Lord?
That there are definitely characters, obviously, that are in the book that are not in the movies.
There are some changes, so that we can probably. Yeah, Liv Tyler's not in the book. Or she is, but she's not.
She's not the character that. Yeah.
She doesn't rescue Frodo.
Isn't there like a humorous character? I don't know where. I don't remember what a friend of mine was saying about.
Tom Bombadil.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of people's favorite characters from the book that's not?
Mm-hmm. People were mad that he wasn't in the movie, but I don't know how you would film that and the movie. Like, it's already long. Like, I get why they cut it. There's lots of extra stuff, especially in this first. You'll see a lot of extra stuff. No, you can't skip the songs of the elves that are like 3 pages. You have to read them.
I will have a physical copy, Matt. I will not have, I thought it probably would be nice to have footnotes. There are two. I think they always come out with these books. What was it? I was at the bookstore and I saw the Peter Beagle and I saw, I want to say it was the Letters of Tolkien.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
In a nice hardcover, great binding, like it seemed like 600, 700 page book, light. It was weird. It was like, I was like, picked this thing up and I was like, whoa, I almost want to buy this just because it's like a marvel of production. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that, but I don't know. Do I have to read all the appendices and stuff, how we create the language and all
that? And those are the end of the Return of the King anyway. But no, you don't have to read the appendices, and those won't be in.
I also have a weird thing about maps.
Do you like them or just?
I do, but I do notice that sometimes maps are inaccurate, and it bothers me to the point where I almost don't want to look at the map.
I think these maps are pretty accurate.
Okay. It's a pet peeve of mine when maps don't match up with the text.
I'm pretty sure these match up. Okay. Right. I've heard people, science dorks, complain that if you look at the map Mordor, right, it's kind of like blocked off in a little square, and they talk about how in real life mountains don't come out of the ground like that.
You can create the world however you want, but if you say a town is west of this other town, describe it as we're heading east, I'm like, wait, whoa.
No, Tolkien.
It doesn't happen a ton, but it does happen in books with maps.
Tolkien created his own language, the elf language. He made it up. So I'm pretty sure he's pretty accurate. All right. Well, I'm excited, Peter. Hopefully the reader is. The listener is not rolling their eyes and look at these dorks. So let us know.
Yeah, it will be a very famous episode. On the episode 2, Turtle Doves, they finally selected Fellowship of the Ring.
You could call it the Fellowship of 2 Turtle Doves.
Do you want me to change the title?
I want to leave it to you because I trust you.
The Fellowship of the 2 Turtle Doves.
Of
2 Turtle Doves.
I'm not referencing Home Alone. I'm referencing the 12 Days of Christmas song.
The Fellowship of 2 Turtle Doves. What was that?
It's okay.
You don't like that?
It's fine.
The Fellowship of 2 Turtle Doves.
I'll leave it up to you to title it.
All right, we're getting a little, this is just too much goofy, too slap much goofiness. I don't have any caffeine right now.
You should you gotta get up early.
Yeah, I gotta
get it. So hey, remember a couple of Halloweens ago, I read the Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah,
and I was actually impressed. I was like, this is good. I like it. And it wasn't. I like Washington Irving. It turns out, I was looking through my collection of Washington Irving. He's got a little 6-page short story called Christmas.
Oh,
and I was curious what that's about. So I think I'm going to read it and I'll report back.
I like it.
You can come. You don't have to if you don't want to. but I think I might.
Dabble,
see what Christmas is.
Is he on your mind because in Burr he's a character?
Yeah, it actually made me break out. Where's my Washington Irving? And I, yeah, that sort of early American history stuff is interesting, you know.
I agree.
New York before it came all industrial and cities and we're still like a countryside. It's interesting stuff. So,
anyway. This has been a very good December nomination pick. Strong pick. A different. I like the way we're going here.
We both brought up a lot of fantasy. When the theme was something fun to read, there was a lot of fantasy books that showed up.
Yeah, I was. That kind of made me wonder. Maybe we should add some fantasy throughout the year a little bit more. But no, I can't do that. See, you're getting me off track. I gotta. In January, you know what's coming up.
We'll see about extending the truce, or we'll just go for it. We'll
books about tanks and desolate grounds. And
I like tanks.
It's true. Tanks are great. Any final things, Matt, this week? Any final thoughts? Things to wrap up? Any theories you've had?
Just some patrons. Patron housekeeping.
Housekeeping, please, Matt. Yes.
Last time, which new genre do you want to do for the Thriller Corner? We got feedback each way, so I wanted to, is it either a crime, kind of lighthearted crime novel in the vein of Elmore Leonard, or an old classic pre-1960, whatever, Dorothy Sayers, Agatha Christie, who've done it. Kind of equal both ways. I was happy people are excited about it, so I wanted to see if you just wanted to do boom, boom. We'd have the next two thriller lined up. We'd do crime, and then just knowing the next one would be an old
tiny mystery
or vice versa. It doesn't matter. If you're good with that, we'll talk about it and do the nominations in our next patron episode.
I like that.
We could just spread it out, but our thriller corners, we have the next two topics lined up.
So with crime, you said, what was the other kind of
in the vein? No more serial killers or dark gritty.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
In the vein, like, stuff can happen, but in the vein of Elmore Leonard.
Elmore Leonard.
Or, you know, like the Liza Locke Lamora, like con men, jaunty, like fun crime type.
Yeah.
Type stuff.
We're
that
not
would be the one.
Yeah.
And then we'd pick an arbitrary date and then do the next category would be like Dorothy Sayers, obscure Agatha Christie, Elizabeth Peters.
Books that I definitely, or authors I definitely want to get to. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And so, that's over on our Patreon. So if you want to, if you like what you hear here on this episode, we have extra content over on our Patreon. We have fun over there. We kind of, our patrons get voting rights. They help select our books over there. We have a thriller book club. We want to do a let's read the bestseller sort of things coming up in 2024. So a lot of fun over there. If you want to support us for a couple bucks every month, we would always be very grateful for that support. I think that about does it, Matt. We will be back next week, and then we have Christmas. So we got, you know, this is a fun time to read books and kind of cozy up by the fire and listen to Christmas music, right?
Watch reindeer games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I have to find reindeer games and pick a Hallmark movie. So until next time, we will talk to you later.
Bye.